Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Nobody started the fire from what I read. Absolutely nobody. It must have been spontaneous combustion. Of course, I'm talking about the Chicago fire 150 years ago. If you've read the information about it, they still don't know for sure who started it. But we carry on anyway with Corey Rumer from the Chicago Tribune. Good evening, Corey. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sweating. I don't know why. And but I'm, you know, I had a little difficulty getting on the air, but that's okay. So
I'm sorry to hear that, I'm so happy to be here now to chat with you.
Me too. Corey is a data journalist from the Chicago Tribune, and the article is "The Great Chicago Fire Destroyed 17,450 Buildings. Here are the six that survive and still stand today." Now, first of all, how do you classify a quote-unquote survivor of the fire?
Well, this is such an important question because, John, I came into this anniversary or researching for this anniversary kind of blind. I really didn't know anything about the Chicago fire. And so as Brian Casella, who's obviously a photographer at the Tribune who does just beautiful work, as he and I started to dig in, we soon realized that it's really hard to classify, you know, if a building survived, quote unquote, the fire from 1871, which happened 150 years ago this Friday. So we turned to an expert, Carl Smith, whose book a few years ago called Chicago's Great Fire, The Destruction and Resurrection of an Iconic American City. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of posed some questions to Carl, like, hey, how do you consider a survivor? And he's like, well, you have to consider, was the building actually in the path of the fire or was it not? Because there are a lot of buildings that are still in the city that were built pre-1871, but they just weren't in the way of the fire, or maybe they were just on the perimeter of the fire, mm-hmm. and that's why they survived. So Brian and I tried to dial in to buildings that were in the path of the fire or very close to it, and that led us to six structures in particular. It's not meant to be a be-all, end-all list of
right. I understand
only
that.
These, yeah, survived. Because I'm sure somebody would call me, somebody who's an expert would call me out on it. But
found
that there were six buildings that we could verify that were in the path or very close to the fire and that are still around today.
And they survived and they did not burn down and they're still usable in the same fashion they were prior to the fire. Is that correct?
Right. So these six buildings were in various states. They were kind of on a spectrum from surviving completely intact to only having their exterior survive the fire.
Uh-huh.
And so as we get into them, I'll kind of let you know which ones, what state each of these were in.
Well, we're talking to Corey Rumer from the Chicago Tribune. Let's go. Corey, tell me about the buildings that survived.
Okay. So let's start with one that a lot of people probably realize survived. Let's talk about the Water Tower, the iconic Chicago building. It's on Michigan Avenue. You drive by it when you go downtown, and that is one that survived the fire. And it's, like I said, it's iconic, but people also might not realize a building right across the street from it, the pumping station, mm-hmm. also survives. The problem, as we started to look in the archives, is that these buildings, which were built in the 1860s, during the fire, their operations were stopped, and water couldn't get out of the waterworks or the pumping station. So even though these buildings are still around today, during the fire, they stopped producing water. So that's that was pretty significant. And I can tell you that there used to be in the water tower, there used to be a huge 40-foot tall pipe that helped provide the water pressure so water could be pumped out from the pumping station. That's not there anymore. Today, it's an art gallery on the inside, which I don't believe is open due to the pandemic right now. Mm-hmm. And the pumping station across Michigan Avenue, Looking Glass Theater, which I think is getting ready to reopen, is now in that site.
So yeah.
It's very interesting. These buildings are still used today.
I'm going to ask you probably the same question after every building that you get to, because all these buildings were in the fire. Why didn't it burn down?
That's a good question, and I think it's because of efforts of people who either own them or live there, just trying to fight the fire, trying to fight the flames. So it's one very good example of that, and one that I was interested to learn about is the Richard Bellinger Cottage. This is at 2121 North Hudson Avenue. It was one of few homes to remain standing. And what's really interesting is this building was designed by the same guy who designed the water tower. So quite the departure. We're talking a wooden house with a wooden sidewalk and a wooden picket fence that was owned by a Chicago police officer at the time. And once he realized the flames were heading toward his house, he took anything he could find, rugs, blankets, and started to soak his roof with these things. But soon, like I said, with the water tower not pumping out more water, his well ran dry, and legend has it that he had a keg of cider in his basement, and that's what he used to continue to wet down different things that he found in his house and put them up on his roof. A relative years later told the Tribune that that part of the story was not true. But something else that was true is when he and his, I think, relatives saw the fire coming their way, they took the wooden fence and they took the wooden sidewalk and got rid of them. So he really created this defensible space around his house to try to prevent the flames from getting to it. And it worked.
This is at 2121 North Hudson in Lincoln Park. Obviously, something is still there. Is that house still there?
Yeah, the house is still there. And it's really interesting because through the years, the Tribune interviewed, you know, for these various anniversaries that would come up, the Tribune interviewed the homeowners. And I think back in the 60s, it was owned by a couple. The husband was an architect. And so they did a lot to restore it. But in recent years, there had been threats to tear it down, to sell it and tear it down. But it's still standing today, and it's still a private residence today.
So there's no plaque or anything that would tell you that this is a house that survived the Chicago fire. There's no historical marker of any kind. It's just another house in Lincoln Park.
You know, I'm so glad you bring that up, because various homeowners through the years fought it. They didn't want it to become a historical landmark, I think, because of all the restrictions that go along with that. However, I believe it was in the 60s or the 70s, a homeowner allowed a plaque to be put on the cottage that says, "This is Policeman Bellinger's cottage, saved by his heroic efforts from the Chicago fire, October 1871. And then the Chicago Landmarks Commission in 1977 did designate it a historic landmark.
Well, good. We're talking to Corey Rumer, data journalist from the Chicago Tribune. The Great Chicago Fire destroyed 17,450 buildings. Here are six that survived and still stand today. We've got four to go. And we'll do that when we come back on 720 WGN. Your own houses are burning. How about that, Corey?
Oh, man.
That is...
Can we just let her sleep in peace?
That is from 1938. It's called... The movie's called An Old Chicago, and it stars Tyrone Power and Alice Faye. And I love that clip.
And Mrs. O'Leary, your house is in the fire.
Now, back to the houses, the buildings that did. This is Corey Weimer from the Tribune. She has an article about six buildings that survived the fire and still stand today. So we've got to get to four more. So let's go.
Okay, so the rest of these are all churches, which I find fascinating because, they were big buildings, and the fact that the congregations chose to rebuild, I just thought, on the same site, I thought was really interesting. So let's talk about St. Michael's Church. This is an old town. The walls of it were just about all that remained after the fire came through. And it's actually one of the interesting pieces that survived the fire within is an icon of Mary that's called Our Mother of Perpetual Help. And this is a replica of an original icon that was sent to the United States from Rome. So that was something that was saved and that is still part of the church and what makes it so well known around the country.
Wow.
The congregation decided within a week that they would rebuild, and so the inside was rededicated in 1873, and it's always remained St. Michael's Church since then, and it's been around, 170 years that congregation has been around. So
and
there's the first church.
And that icon that you're speaking of, is that still there?
Still there. Yeah,
wow.
Pretty fascinating.
You
learn something new every day.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some people reading divine intervention into that, and I can't blame them. What else do we got?
Very interesting, yes. Okay, Unity Church, which today is Harvest Bible Chapel, Chicago Cathedral. This one, it was the interior was heavily damaged by the fire. So it had to be rebuilt. The congregation wanted to rebuild. And the guy who did it, Dankmar Adler, this is before he partnered with architect Louis Sullivan, who so many buildings around Chicago we recognize today. And through the years, unlike St. Michael's in Old Town, this one has had different congregations come along. For a while, it was operated by the Masons. It was known as the Scottish Rite. But today, it's Harvest Bible Chapel. So there's that one.
That's very interesting that it would change congregations and also change, I'm just guessing, changing an approach to whatever religious faction they were part of. You know what I'm saying?
So true.
Yeah.
Right. And as these different groups would move in, they would modify the building to work for their interests.
Yeah.
So that's been interesting to see how that's changed over time.
Yeah.
And our very last building is St. James Church, which is now known as St. James Cathedral. Lost its roof, lost its floors, but in the Tribune on October 12th, 1871, we said, but otherwise the injury is apparently small. This was a small congregation that was part of the Episcopal Diocese of Chicago. And it's interesting because Abraham Lincoln, after he's elected president, before he leaves for Washington, he prays at St. James. And so that was their claim to fame before the fire. But again, we have people who really, once they saw the fire coming, they really rushed in to try to save some of their iconic things, including a memorial dedicated to Civil War soldiers.
Wow.
So that was spared. It's part of the restored church. It's still there today. But the interesting thing about St. James is people over the decades have said that scorch marks that are visible on its bell tower are are remnants of the 1871 fire. But Brian got Robert Black, who works at St. James Cathedral, to say, no, that's not really the case because we have photos soon after the fire and you don't see those burn marks on our bell tower. So we believe that that's a result of pollution and that's why it's there. So we've got a little bit of clarification there. Something interesting about that Civil War memorial that I mentioned, Chicago's first mayor, William B. Ogden, his family helped fireproof that memorial. And so that's the reason why people believe it's still around today, still intact, still in such great shape, because it was fireproofed. But you have to remember that back in the day, even our own Chicago Tribune building said it was quote-unquote fireproof. So a lot of buildings from that time that were said to be able to survive a fire, like the fire of 1871, didn't. So, these are the six that are still around.
You know, they also said the Titanic couldn't sink, but I guess not. Corey, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk to you and filling us in on the buildings, because we concentrate so much on the devastation and destruction of the Chicago fire. It's great to get an angle on what survived and how it's doing today.